friends, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks that we can worship you in the open air, that we can lift our voices in song, that we can pray for one another in care and in hope. God, we lift up the prayers that we've spoken this morning, prayers for healing, prayers for grace, prayers for strength. And God, we give you prayers of thanks as well, knowing that you have gotten us through whatever it may be that we've gone through. God, be with us gathered here, those on the road, those coming home, and those who can't leave their homes. God, be with us now and remind us that we are bound together in your love and our care for each other. May it be that our hearts are filled with your love and your desires so that all may know that you are risen. You are risen indeed. Through Christ our Lord, we pray all of these things, those heavy on our hearts that can't be spoken and those that we have. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So at this time, I think the kids should come up, right? Nod your head, say yes. Oh, we can do the Lord's Prayer. Thanks. Friends, I don't know what I'd do without people. Kids, why don't you come up while we pray the Lord's Prayer? How about that? Friends, would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Hello? Good morning. How are you guys? Do we want to sit or do you guys want to stand? I'll let you decide. Stand? Okay, cool. Good choices. Do we all know what this is? A toolbox. Do you guys help your parents when they're using these? No? Okay, me neither. Cool. So do you guys have, like on Sundays, does your family rest or do you guys decide to do projects like I do? You don't know. It's kind of mixed. There's a mix of rest, work, and I don't know. Cool. So I have to build a bookshelf today. So I was wondering if you guys would help me sort through my toolbox and make sure I have everything that I need to build a bookshelf. Yeah? Cool. I'm going to put this back down. Again, so sorry. Okay. All right. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. All righty. So I have some paint. Good. Cool. I have a whisk. No. Okay. I have some tape. No, I got an I guess. Cool. And a tomato.
No.
What? What do you mean? Well, I could. You're right. I could make soup with this stuff. I could mix it. So this stuff is good for mixing. Yeah, the paint doesn't help, does it? No. So this stuff won't help me build a bookshelf. I could paint the bookshelf, but I can't build the bookshelf with any of this, can I? No. The tape will help me. So sometimes we don't have the right talents or tools to do certain things, right? But like we said before, the whisk will help me mix things, right? Yeah. What will the tomato help me with? I can eat it. That's right. I can eat it. The tape will help me hang things up. I can put things together. So this might help me with the bookshelf. What can the paint help me with? Painting the bookshelf. That is right. That can come after. So all these things are good for something else, right? So to share God's word, do you guys think that you have to be good at speaking in front of big groups? Yeah? What if you're good at singing? You can do that, right? We have some good singers in this group. I know we do. What if you're really good at playing sports? Are there any? You guys are? You guys can help share God's love by playing sports as well. Because you all are given different talents, and God gives you specific times and chances to share your talents to share God's love. Right? Yeah? Should we pray so we can go sit back down? All right, cool. All righty. I wrote it down again, folks. All right, you want to repeat after me? Hey, God. Thank you so much for giving me special talents and for giving me chances to use my talents to show your love. Amen.
Love them, hate them, love to hate them. I have some bagpipes in my arms if you can't see that. Pray that they have stayed in tune. Amen? Amen.
New Testament reading this morning is about faith, and faith under some very trying and very difficult circumstances. The reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. It's chapter 11, verse 29 through verse 12 12:2. By the faith, people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Friends, at this time we have our offering. You all know this shtick, right? Amen? Amen. Jokes aside, though, there are many ways to partner in ministry with this church and with this community, and we appreciate all the ways that you have done so, both in the giving of your resources, in the spending of your time, in the offering of your talents, and all of those things. It takes a lot of different hands and a lot of different hearts to do the work that God has called us to do. So first and foremost, can you turn to your neighbor and say thank you? Seriously, friends, thank you. And if you'd like to continue partnering with us monetarily, we'll be passing around the plate as Scott Johnston graces our ears with a performance.
Most of you know the song. Go ahead and sing with as you know. I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. And I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to pray. And I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, mothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. And I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, fathers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. And I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray.
Friends, would you pray with me and bless the offering? Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you that we have the opportunity to give, that we've been blessed with so much. Lord, we give thanks for all of the ways we give, whether that be here and now, whether that be electronically, whether that be with our time or our talents, with our prayers, with our energy. Lord, we give you thanks that we can offer up what you have given us and bless the world with it. Through Christ our Lord, we give thanks and pray. Amen. So friends, we invite you to lift your voices once again in worship and sing with us our next hymn. Gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. This is the gospel, according to Luke. Jesus says, "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south winds blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The good news of Jesus Christ. All the people said, Amen. Good news, right? I know. I wish we had a different passage for being outside in public today, too. But there's some interesting things to deal with here today, which I think are not only useful and helpful, but good to our souls. Jesus says he came to cause what? Division, right? Okay, Jesus, I guess we get the fire and brimstone lesson today. Hopefully not, but here we go. This division, though, this conflict that we see sometimes, what does it typically stem from? Where two or more are gathered, there will be many things. Jesus, one of them, right, of the faithful. But as soon as you get multiple people together living in the same space, all of a sudden things don't necessarily go as smoothly as when you're on your own, right? I can remember it was just after college. I was living with four other people. I would have been the fifth. Now, there were a couple common areas, and of course, those things needed what? Rules, right? Because as soon as the living room got messy, or as soon as someone drank someone else's milk, what happened? You know exactly what happened because you've probably lived it. If you've grown up living with anyone else, whether that be siblings, parents, or spouses. It's hard to live together, and sometimes these differences, whether they're of opinion or of priority or of method, sometimes when we as people get together, what happens? We butt heads when there's disagreement. So Jesus says, I've come not necessarily to bring peace, but what I will bring will cause conflict. How many of you feeling warm and fuzzy inside right now? Good. I have to ask the question, what is it then that Jesus is bringing that might bring that disagreement, that conflict, that division? Now, I want to put this back into perspective, right? I want to put this in its setting. Jesus was this guy in the Near East, in Israel and Palestine. He was walking around about 1st century AD. We're all agreed on that, right? There were other powers and forces and structures in place that had a vested interest in keeping things the same. If you remember, it wasn't but a few decades prior or a few within the century that Jesus' people had tried to overthrow Roman rule. Did it go well? No, not really well. Not when you're up against the superpower of the day, right? See, the Jews knew that they had to play nice because the privileges that they were given by the Romans were fairly good. They could worship in their temples. They could keep their practices. They didn't have to assimilate in the ways that other cultures had assimilated. So you have this youngish man walking around the cities and the countryside saying things like, I can forgive sins, which, by the way, God does. Not only that, but he started doing things like healing on the Sabbath, which is forbidden back then, by the way. He was causing such a stir that the people started to what? Complain. Or at least the religious leaders started to complain. They started to get antsy. They started to see the conflict that was brewing. Jesus came bringing what? Health and life and grace. He came and he turned everything upside down on its head, and no wonder people got upset. I remember a time in college. It's one of those memories that just stick out in your mind. It was probably about, and you know, college kids, it was probably about 5 in the afternoon, 5 in the evening, and I was curled up in bed from a nice long nap. How many of you prefer to take your naps at that time in the day? No one? Man, it's great. I was curled up in bed in this nice long nap. It was dark. It was quiet. It was warm. And you know what happened? The door was flung open and the light came crashing into the room. The cold air came next, and then I could hear the sound of just the hustle and bustle out in the hallway of the dorm room. And one of my friends yelled at me, said, "Luke, get up. It's time for dinner." How many of you think I was really pleased about that one? Things were all of a sudden changed, and not necessarily in a way that I was too happy about. We find this same thing happening with Christ. See, I don't think Christ is saying, "I've come to bring destruction and division and all of that discomfort just for its own sake." I think what Christ is saying here is that the message that I'm bringing might not necessarily be well received. It might make people uncomfortable. It might give people pause and start to question, why do we do things the way that we do them? How many of you like change? You see, I'm not raising my hand for a reason, right? And yet, it can be exciting. It can be life-giving. And it can be needed sometimes. See, what Jesus was bringing was life. And in a culture, in a society, in a time period where oppression and power and death and destruction were the way of things, life is basically an act of aggression. At the end there, Jesus says something along the lines of, you can, which way is west? It's, which way? It's that way, right? So that means south is that way, right? Now, of course, this is geographically situated in the gospel, right? In the south, in Israel, the southern winds came from the desert, so they brought the hot air, and the western winds, or the clouds coming in the west, were coming off of the sea, so obviously they were bringing rain, right? But we can do the same thing, it's just we bring up our phones and type in Fort Dodge weather, and we get a 10-day forecast, amen? What's interesting, though, is Jesus said, you can read the signs. You can read the sky and the earth and know what will happen. But your trouble lies in discerning the present time here and now. And though Jesus didn't say this explicitly, I think the next step is just as true. That sometimes we as people have trouble discerning the depths of our own hearts and our own culture and our own time. That it's easy, like a fish swimming in water, not to know what water is. So while it makes sense back then, back in the first century AD, that the message that Christ brought was a little bit radical and a little bit one that would rock the boat, I think the question for us here today is, what is it about the message still that might make people uncomfortable? That might make people look at each other and just like those differences, right? Go, something doesn't feel right here, and we've got to either talk this one out or it might come to blows. There were a lot of names dropped up in Hebrews, the passage we read before. Anyone heard of David? Samson? Gideon? Right? A lot of names. But then at the end there, after he had gotten through David and Samuel, there's just this category. It's called the prophets. Now, there were a lot of prophets, some of them who actually got into Scripture. But what's fascinating about that, and it comes from one of my favorite prophets, the book of Micah. What's fascinating about that is they had a message that typically got them in trouble, didn't it? They either were driven from their homeland or were persecuted or sent all over the place. But it seemed like it was the same throughout those books. And the message really hasn't changed since the beginning of time. Christ himself actually preached this. You remember Matthew 25? It's one we like to lift up. It's a good ideal, a good thing to shoot for. Feed the what? Feed my sheep is later on. Feed the hungry, right? Give water to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. Visit the sick and those imprisoned. Easy things, right? At least good, beautiful things. Things that we should be aspiring to. Things that everyone, I would hope, could agree on. How many of you want kids to go hungry? That's a trick question. Don't raise your hands, right? How many of you like seeing homelessness? How many of you wish our prisons were more full? The problem, I think, sometimes, and I'm speaking on a personal level now, the problem, I think, sometimes comes when we don't necessarily examine the ways that we contribute to society. See, there was something beautiful that happened around the Reformation. There's something beautiful that our faith gives us. It's this idea that God loves us. And not just us, but that God loves me. This is when Wesley said at Aldersgate, I finally got it, that God, that Christ had forgiven the sins of the world. And not only the sins of the world, but my sins, even my sins were forgiven. Which is a good thing. And a beautiful thing. But sometimes it's important to realize where we as individual people are situated in our communities. The things that we do that seem normal and everyday, but are causing harm or destruction or pain. Jesus said it down here. That's hard to do, to sit and reflect on those things. How many of you like doing that? Poking at the soft, hurting parts of your inner soul? Anyone? Anyone? And yet, this is, I think, the conflict that the gospel brings to us today, if we have ears to hear it. That when Christ speaks of love and grace and life, when Christ proclaims mercy, that sometimes that mercy looks a little bit, I don't know, forbidden, against the rules, a little bit counter to how our lives run. Like that nap in college. If I'm comfortable now, and if Christ is asking me to become uncomfortable, to change my ways so that life and grace might break through, that's an easy one, isn't it? I'm going to stay in bed. Hallelujah. But here's the beautiful thing, friends. Here's the thing that I want us to really reflect on today. Sometimes we think that this is a zero-sum game. And what I mean by that sometimes we think that what I have, if I have to share any of it, it means that I get nothing and the other person gets all of it. It's not how God's economy actually works, though. That sometimes when we have the courage to give a little, be servant-hearted, you know, that thing that we're talking about, to share, not only in what we have, but in the load in life, what we find often is that it's not that you take all of what I have, but rather we find we have so much more together than we would have realized. That sometimes, in helping each other, the kingdom of God begins to break through. And all of a sudden, when I look at something Christ is asking me to do, to be a little bit uncomfortable, that there's actually blessings in the midst of that that I didn't even realize. An easy message, isn't it? I know. I wish Christ had given me a different gospel to preach today. But the truth is this. The kingdom of God. Heaven. The new heaven, the new earth. The renewed place that the Spirit is starting to make, continuing to make, and will work on until Christ returns again. Christ said it himself, the kingdom of God is near, very near, so near you can touch it and taste it, that love, that grace, that hope is something possible now. And not only possible now, but possible even after death. For each of us. And for all of us. So the question I think we have to ask ourselves today is, where are the places that the gospel just feels a little bit too radical? Have you ever felt that? Can the good news ever be bad news to people? Where is the place that the gospel just makes us uncomfortable because it's asking us to stretch a little bit, that our hearts, like that old Dr. Seuss story, might grow a couple sizes? Where are the places that Christ is saying there is more possible? Don't be scared. That's going to be an individual question, friends. We're all different people. But it's a good one to ask. Where is Christ calling us into a deeper, fuller way of living, a life worth living? And what do we do about it? A couple Sundays ago, I gave you a simple prayer. Can I give you another one? Can I give you another simple prayer? Is that okay? Okay. Pray after me. Lord, fill my heart with love. Amen. Lord, fill my heart with love. Amen. Everyone wave to the helicopter because I can't continue talking until the sound's done. I've been asking this question personally in my life because it's a hard one to answer. What is the first step in matters of the spirit? What is the next step in matters of the soul? The things that it's hard to really know how to do. Not that I have the full answer, but I know part of it is that very thing you prayed. It starts in here. It starts with the love and the desire to see this world a better place, to have Christ be more present every day, everywhere. So may you pray that prayer. May it begin to shape how you see things, how you experience things. May it give you the courage and, I don't know, the patience to poke on those places in your heart that, as Christ says, the gospel is causing conflict. Because if we can do that, if we can look differently in a world that is more interested in having the most toys by the time we die, or by holding on to some sort of power or authority, or by being comfortable, if we can be filled with love and grace, if we can be filled with a heart that is willing to serve, and we look different in that way, perhaps the world might just ask, what do you have and where did you get it? Because I want it too. Amen? Amen. May you wrestle with that today. Friends, if you turn in your bulletin, there's an affirmation of faith, a proclamation of servanthood, a prayer that we've been praying so that hopefully we might look more like Christ every day. I invite you to proclaim it with me now. We are called to serve everyone and everything in the name of Christ for the glory of God and the salvation of the world. Every single day, everything we need, the Spirit will give. So may we, here and now, have the courage to share our wealth with those in need and be ready to serve at a moment's notice. May we hold fast to the good news of God's love, seeking grace and life over laws devoid of compassion, so that the Holy Spirit might renew the face of the earth through the hands and the hearts of the servants of Christ, no matter the cost, no matter the work, no matter the weight, till kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Amen. Friends, lift up your hearts and your voices as we praise God and sing our final hymn. Before we give the final blessing, just a couple quick reminders. The 21st is next Sunday. Kids, how many of you have backpacks? If you want to bring them next Sunday and have them blessed, go ahead and do that. We would love to bless them and remind you that you are loved, and have a good year. Also, today, this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Storm Lake, it's the installation service for our new district superintendent. If you'd like to come to that, you're invited. You'll probably even see me there. But friends, with those two announcements, I invite you to stand. Hold on. Before you stand, thank you to all of the tech team, to all of the musicians, to all of the people who brought chairs. That's all of you, by the way. To those who collected the offering, to Henry Brain, who's going to share some wonderful kringla with all of us. Is that true? Yes, that is true. Thank you, friends, for joining us today and worshiping God with us. It's a joy to see you all here. So, with that, we invite you to stand as you are able and receive the final blessing. Stretch, stretch. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God lift God's face upon you and give you peace. And as the gospel is preached, and as you wrestle with the words of Christ, and as you learn and look for ways to love one another, may whatever conflict or tension within you, because the gospel is radical, whatever within you, may it be tempered by love and grace. May your hearts be filled with the desire to look more like Christ every day, so that not only your lives are blessed, but the world may be blessed through them. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, Amen. Go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath today. Our service is ended.